The Hannah Gray Mayor of Bromley podcast. Championing small businesses. Hannah Gray has been serving the community as a local government councillor for several years. She was nominated to be the 2020-2021 Mayor of the London Borough of Bromley at the height of the COVID pandemic in March 2020. Hannah has for many years been known as one of South London's most prolific small and medium enterprise networkers. Before becoming Mayor, Hannah was Bromley's business champion, promoting and helping entrepreneurs achieve their business ambitions. She's now dedicated to helping promote SMEs, charities, and voluntary organizations to learn from their experiences for the benefit of all.
Well, I am delighted that today I'm joined not by one great mentor, but two great mentors. I don't know what the plural is for two mentors, but we'll stick with mentors. I've got Greg Davis and I've got Julian Lewis. One I know a little better than the other, but we won't give that away at the moment. And they're here today because we really want to talk about Infinite Giving. It's the book they've written, The Seven Principles of Giver's Gain. They wrote it along with Dr. Ivan Meisner. Now, we are all members of BNI. And we are passionate about BNI. I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point. But before we get there, I'd just like to know a little bit more about Greg Davis. So, Greg, where were you born and how did your life begin? I don't mean physically how did it begin, but I mean, what did you do when you were a child? How did you grow up?
So, I'm a bit of a mongrel. Basically, my mum and dad were from Southeast London. So one was born at East Dulwich Hospital, the other was born in a flat on the Old Kent Road. But they moved following work up to Lancashire. So I was born in a tiny village called Bake Up, one road in, one road out. And when it snowed in winter, you were locked in. But at the age of four, following work again, my dad moved down to West Sussex, where I spent most of my childhood and adult life. I had a very broad northern accent at the age of four. So I was sent to speech therapy lessons because my parents thought I might be bullied at school for having such a strong accent.
Really? Gosh.
I know, right? But the fact that I've ended up basing my whole business and a lot of my passion around Southeast London is I quite like it. It's quite cyclical, the fact that I've come back to where my family are from. So
that's yes. Great. That's fantastic. And yeah, you've come back to your original roots. And we love the fact that you're in Southeast London. You sound a bit like a Southeast Londoner now, which is really good. That was a terrible accent, wasn't it? Okay, I won't try and do that again. So Julian Lewis, tell us a little bit about who you are and where you grew up and what makes you you.
I'm really interested, actually, Hannah, if you're going to do a Berkshire accent, because that's where I was born. I was born in Reading, although I was actually born in a small part of Reading, which when they ask you those security questions, where were you born, I actually say that. I don't actually say Reading, so it gives me a little bit of added security. So I've lived in Berkshire my entire life, so I'm very familiar with the county. Not a massive county. Went to school near Newbury, and I was one of these people at school where if there was a club or society going, I was in it. So I was in all the sports teams. I wasn't necessarily good at all these things. there's only one sport I've ever really been good at, which is rugby, because I ended up being 6'3" and 17 stone. And that's quite useful for playing rugby, but not so useful for when I was in the table tennis club. But I did judo. I did judo up to black belt. I also did sailing on a Saturday. This is how I run my life, and I have done it since. I'm just involved in everything.
You see, that's great. And great friend of ours says, when the train comes along, get on the train. Just get on the train and see where it takes you. I think you know who I'm quoting. And so, Greg, what would you say that you were an ambitious young man? I mean, what were you involved in as a young man?
Was I ambitious? It's always difficult to say, isn't it? I mean, I suppose from the outside looking in, yes, I would be perceived as it. I always threw my hat in the ring. I think you get everywhere in life by asking for stuff that you want. So You know, I was in the band, like Julian. I was involved in all the sports teams, even though not particularly good. I mean, unlike Julian, I got to about 5'8" and stopped. So me being on the school basketball team was a bit of a comic value. But I was involved in, you know, all the school plays and stuff like that. I was pretty high achieving academically, but just through, I have a stupid retention for useless facts. So, and that kind of carried me through GCSE. But when I actually had to study at A-level, it, you know, my memory just went, yeah, we've never heard this stuff before, so we can't help you. So it fell down. But in terms of being ambitious, I was, I wanted, I like recognition. I'm not really driven by material things or finances, but I enjoyed being the youngest salesperson for the Daily Mail Group. I liked owning my own business at the age of 22, and which ultimately brought me to BNI, where I met you guys. So I don't know if I'm ambitious. I actually think I'm quite lazy, but other people have told me I'm definitely not. So it's really difficult.
I think you're both very driven, actually, and you're very humble, all of which I think will probably come out in the discussion about the book. But you really are both givers, aren't you? That you can't help but give. And I think that's what we talked about in the little teaser that that came out on Friday. So, I mean, maybe not ambitious, but givers and driven, because you have both been incredibly successful in your own worlds. I mean, Julian, I've got down here, film and TV business coach and mentor and public speaker. And you had a desire to have 5 companies that you were involved in or running at the same time, and I believe you've achieved that. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. So 5 profitable companies, and so not just 5 companies, but 5 profitable companies was an ambition of mine for a long time. And part of the reason for that is I cottoned on fairly early on that multiple income streams is a good strategy for almost for anybody in life, but certainly people in business life. So whether that's multiple income streams within a single business, or in my case, multiple businesses diverse, is for me just seemed like a really good strategy. So it's interesting when I say to some people, you know, I run 5 different businesses, and they're like, oh, you know, wow, that's you know, that's amazing. So many, you know, so many different businesses, but you can see where that comes from, i.e. my school days. And then I've said that to certain people, and they said, well, why only 5? why not more? And then I'm like, oh, gee, yeah, I mean, maybe there should be, and there will be more. I mean, there absolutely will be more in the future. For now, I'm enjoying working with other businesses, and particularly in film and TV, which is a particular niche of mine.
That sounds really fascinating. I'm sure we could spend a whole podcast just talking about the film and TV business. But going back to Greg, known as the Story Fella, well, as much as I'd love you to tell us a story, because I've heard a few of your amazing stories, I don't think we've got the whole podcast to do that, because you probably can't do it in 2 seconds. But I also notice on your Facebook, you've got, I love to smile and help as many people as I can crack a smile each day. I love that. That's a really positive thought. And I'm sure you can do that with your stories as well, Greg. Have you got an example of a story that's made a difference rather than telling the whole story? Have you got an example of a story that's made a difference to someone? You saw a light bulb come on over their head.
Yeah, I mean, there are many stories in the book that people have come back and told us that it's hit a certain nerve or resonated with them in a certain way. But the most powerful story I share is my personal one. But it's not really about me. It's not about me being the hero of the story. It's about people unreservedly giving to me in all aspects of giving. So yes, there was some finance in there, but there was also support and mentoring and friendship at a very, very tough period in my life. And one of the reasons I'm so passionate about our Givers Gain community that we call BNI is because I feel a debt to repay repay that, those acts of giving. And the one of the things about the story is that you don't know it's about me until the very end. And I use it to illustrate the kind of support and kind of additional benefits you get from being part of a business networking organization. However, what I didn't realize was that some of the people I was telling it to, they were 2, 3, 4 steps behind me on the same journey. They were going through hardships and they recognized themselves in the story. And it actually made them, you know, lift their chin up and puff their chest out and carry on. And I think sometimes when we share, especially personal stories, and I'm not talking about bragging and, you know, I did this and I've achieved that and look at what I've got. I'm talking about, you know, genuinely opening up and sharing some emotion with the world and being vulnerable and just allowing people to actually understand who you are and why you do what you do. We get a message across, of course, but we also inspire people that we had no idea were going through a number of hardships ourselves. And because you've done it, they look at you and go, yeah, all right, it's going to be okay. And I think that's one of the most powerful things about sharing your own story rather than just stories I often share, which are ones that have been sourced and good examples of famous people. So I think that would be the one for me, Hannah.
I think sharing your own story is often so powerful. And as you say, we don't know what people are going through, do we? And we don't know that at the time of telling them that necessarily will help. But quite often it can, because people realizing that they're not going through something on their own, they're not the only person going through it or the only business going through it. It does help them to realize that there are often solutions and ways forward. So, Julian, can I ask, how did you and Greg get together with Dr. Ivan Meisner? And I, just before you answer that question, I just want to clarify, we keep saying BNI, but we haven't said what that stands for. Business Networking International, that Ivan Meisner started unwittingly, but did start and is now an international referral networking group of people. But how did you get together? Whose idea was it, Julian, that you would get together and write this book, Infinite Giving?
Well, I think we can, I think Greg and I can claim joint idea on the book. Effectively, we put together a speech for a BNI conference on Giver's Gain. And when you're asked to talk about Giver's Gain, and certainly when Greg and I were asked to talk about Giver's Gain, there's no way we could have done it without talking with Ivan at the very least. And we set up a call with Ivan and just said, look, we've been asked to do this speech on Giver's Gain, and we just knew that we wanted to talk to you. Us being planners, we had planned the entire speech, and we wanted lots of different things in there. We wanted fun and excitement. We wanted video. We wanted stories, of course, and we wanted some practical steps that people could take. And we pitched to Ivan that we would have him on video in our speech. So that was very good fun to do. Ivan was well up for it, and we put together a sequence of videos that appear live. They're not actually live for anyone that still thinks they're live or that we haven't told. And
you've ruined it now. You've ruined it. I thought that was live. I saw that. I thought, well, how on earth are they getting that timing
right?
I think
it's actually more remarkable that it's not live, because it would have been easier to do live apart from the technical side of it. But so we did this speech anyway. The speech was called The Seven Principles of Giver's Gain. And during our conversations with Ivan over about probably a 3 different sessions, something like that, it was Greg actually that just said to Ivan, we think there's a book in this. And are you interested in writing the book with us? And he said, Greg?
Yeah, he used the phrase, colour me cooperative, which I've never heard before or since. And it was brilliant, because we were like 2 children at Christmas. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely class ourselves as friends of Ivan now, and he's been gracious enough to actually even call us great friends of his. But the thing about it is, every single time in the early days we would come off of the Zoom calls that we would have with him over the book, we would just be like a couple of little kids going, "Oh, you know, wow, we're speaking with Ivan." Obviously, it's a bit different now, but it was a really big deal, and it's a big deal to work with Ivan. But it's a really big deal to be trusted with Giver's Game, which is BNI's philosophy. It's trademarked to BNI, and it's commonly attributed to Ivan. So it's a real big deal for us. Yet all three of us realise that it's really important to write this book about this philosophy of, you know, what goes around comes around, the law of reciprocity that we call Giver's Game in BNI.
Yeah, and I've got the book in front of me. And so we've got the seven principles of Giver's Gain. I don't think we necessarily need to run through, because people need to buy the book to read it. But if you had to pick one of those principles, oh, this is a terrible thing. It's like picking your favourite child, isn't it? And we don't have favourites. But if there's one that you wanted to talk about today, rather than it being your favourite, I'll go to Greg first. If there's one you wanted to talk about today, out of these seven, what would you say would be the one that would encourage people to bother to pick up this book? Because you've already said in the teaser, it's not a massive tome, and it's not, and it's easy reading, and I'm not a great reader. I prefer to listen to my books, but I've picked this up and I've read this, and I didn't want to put it down. So what would you talk about? Which one of the principles would you talk about that you think people should really pick up this book and have a look at?
So Well, firstly, the audiobook is almost complete, and it's a local business based in your borough, Lady Mayor.
Oh, good.
Who's putting together the audiobook for us. So so you'll be able to listen to our dulcet tones when that comes out. Secondly, it's really difficult because we actually make a point in the book that we have to apply all the principles equally, and there's a few. Depending on what day that you catch me, which I will say, yeah, that one resonates with me. But I'm going to relate the one today back to what you said earlier. So there's principle number six is to stay humble. It's one that we see just absolutely ignored on a day-by-day basis. And great people in life are not the people that constantly remind you that they've done great things. They're the people that are just at your level, and I've seen the way that you've handled your office since you stepped in, and you've been, you know, so visual in a local community, even at your own personal risk. And I know you've suffered from illness recently, and you know, thank God that you've come through it. But there are other people in office all over the country that have just kind of shut themselves away from, you know, from the people that they serve, and I've heard many people pay you compliments, Anna, and myself included, and you immediately bat them back. You know, you say, "Oh, it's my job, it's what I do," and you know, and your humility, and you know, you are a larger than life character. You've got an amazing personality, and we're lucky to have you. But at your very core, you have the ability to stay humble when others wouldn't. Others would use their status and their achievements as a way of fanning their ego. So I think principle number six for me is one that people often forget, and we see it. But as soon as people stumble into success, we see the ego starting to grow and the humility starting to dissipate. And it's very easy to be humble when we've got nothing. You know, when we're not successful and we don't drive a nice car and we don't live in a big house, and people aren't asking us for help and advice, that becomes more and more challenging as we progress through life, and hopefully for all of us become more successful. And it's a journey. It's a journey, not a destination. We have to keep ourselves in check day by day. And it's one that I think you do beautifully. So that's the one that resonates with me today. If you ask me tomorrow, it might be something difficult, but I'm with a humble superstar. So I think that one is very apt for me today.
Wow, that's just knocked me a little bit sideways, but thank you very much for that. But as you say, it's just what I do. I've been the honour of being given Mayor of Bromley, and I intend to do the very best I possibly can. And that's the way that I view what I'm doing anyway. But I understand what you mean by some people really do swallow the important pill, don't they? And they really expect you all to stand up when they walk in the room, and in fact they probably haven't earned it. So I think humble is important, and Ivan Meyer's not always strikes me as humble. I've seen him on a number of podcasts now, and people have asked him questions, and he's always very humble. And you're not even talking about, this is all about mutual admiration society, you're not talking about all the great things you've done for people with the BNIs that you've set up. So Julian, coming to you before I repay too many compliments to Greg, what would be the principle that you think, Julian, is one of the ones you'd like to talk about today to get people interested in reading this book?
Yeah, so I think this isn't my favourite principle. We can cover that another time if you want. However, I think the one that I think would resonate most with people is principle number 4, give what you can afford. And there's a fantastic analogy we use in the book, which comes from a lady called Lisa Nichols. And it is to give from your saucer, not from your cup. And what it basically describes, and it kind of sums up also principle number 5, which is it's okay to gain. What it describes is that we talk about infinite giving, and the key with that is, in order for it to be infinite, you can't deplete your resources to a point where you can no longer give. So we need to be constantly filling our cup, which is our own requirements, you know, our own needs. We all have our own defined definition of what we need in order to live our lives. Yet for most of us, there are things that are overflowing into our saucer, in terms of our knowledge, our ability to support people, our ability to volunteer in the community, etc., that we can give. So to give what you can afford, I think, is a really strong principle to understand, and kind of like a bedrock for us to be able to move into infinite giving, so that we understand this process of, it's okay for us to fill our cup, take what we need for us and our family and those that we love, but there will come a time when we've got our cup overflowing and there's stuff in our saucer that we'll be able to give to freely and happily to others without depleting our own resources. So that's the one I'm choosing today.
Yeah, that is so important, because I mean, that's something that they tell you as a young mum, actually. They're saying you really do have to look after yourself if you need to look after your children. And if you are a natural giver, you need to be in that place to be able to give. And if you aren't in a good place to be able to give, then it must be really difficult to be able to do so. However, it's okay to gain, I find quite tricky, because of course it's okay to gain, but you don't go into these situations, you don't go to help people, don't go to help businesses, you don't go to advise people, advise your friends and neighbours, because you're going to get something out of it. But as mayor, I've got so much out of just going and saying thank you to people. I think I mentioned this in the teaser. You feel guilty. You feel guilty that you feel good because you're giving something, and that's a bit of a strange thing, isn't it? It's okay to gain, I think, is really, really important. Greg, do you want to tell us about Are They In Your Light? What would that mean?
So Are They In Your Light is so it's the first principle, and it's based around a previous book that Ivan wrote called Who's In Your Room? And the concept of the book is, imagine your room, your life is represented by a room. And in the middle of that room is a single light bulb, and you're stood directly underneath a light bulb. And everyone who you've ever met and you've ever had a relationship with in your life is in that room. And the people stood right next to you, so they are Illuminated by the light are your family, your close friends that you speak to regularly, the people that you deal with on a day-by-day basis, your best clients, your best suppliers. And then as you go out further and further into the recesses of the room, you have people who you've lost contact with, or that you don't maintain relationships with, or, right in that very dark corner is the person that you spoke to once at a networking event 10 years ago. And the idea of principle one is that you have to practice discernment. So, Hannah, if you and I had only met once at a networking event 10 years ago, and I came to you and said, I'm really down on my luck, Hannah, can I stay in your spare room? However lovely you are, I would hope you wouldn't go, yeah, here's a spare key. However, if I'm one of those people stood right next to you in your light, we speak daily, we've got a great relationship, and I reach out for help, you may decide that yes, you would be willing to help me in that way. And that's an analogy. It could be, looking for referrals to one another, helping someone promote their business, or just doing them a good turn by, liking, sharing stuff on Facebook. There are a lot of requests at the moment, almost blanket requests that we get of people asking us for help. And we can get sidetracked by doing small acts of kindness and giving for people that we hardly even know. And we can feel like we're really busy and we can feel like we're doing stuff. But without practicing that discernment, we are going to drain our resources. Just like Julian said, we will drain our own cups and be left lacking in our own reserves. So look at the people that are asking you. Where are they in your life? What's your relationship with them? Is it right that you give this level of energy, time, and commitment to them, given your relationship? And if not, then it's okay to say to them, look, we're not where we should be. What's going on? How can I help? And practice some discernment with the offer of giving and assistance that you put forward.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much insight into how we behave and how we can still behave the way that we want to and be proud of ourselves and give and create a wonderful world around us, both personally and in our business world, that I think is very clear in this book. I found it gave great clarity to things that we may know some of or thought about a little, but maybe haven't spent as much time as we should understanding those. And I think it was great. Well, I found it great to clarify my thoughts. I'm delighted to hear that there's going to be an audio version. So tell me, are you two both reading, and is Ivan reading in this book?
Yes, we are. We've divided the book up in the same way that we wrote the book, in terms of we wrote individual chapters each. And one of the fun things that we like to play with people is to guess who wrote which chapters.
Mm.
So we've also divided up the audible. However, we're not necessarily reading the chapters that we've written. It's a fun game only for the three of us probably, but we'll read a third of the book each.
That's fantastic. And so what about the language difference? Is there going to be a notable language difference? I say that with tongue in cheek. But obviously, Ivan's got his American accent.
Yeah, absolutely. And we made a big thing of in the promo of flipping a coin to decide whether we were going to write the book in American English or UK English or proper English, whatever you want to call it, Queen's English, I think we call it in the video. And we had a lot of fun. And I just pick up on what you say about Ivan. I think one of the things that he taught me, reinforced me, whatever, is he's a very humble man and a very generous man too. That's, I think that's really important. And we also had a lot of fun when we were when we were writing the book, and the toin costs, which is a deliberate mistake, was one of the funniest things, and just really good fun to do. When we decided we would write it in American English, but I'm going to read it in Queen's English anyway, so it's fine.
This isn't a drag, this book, is it? I mean, that's really why I want to get your personalities out, and the fact that you had so much fun doing it. And I watched that promo video, so I knew about the tossing of the coin. But I think it's important to know that this isn't a drag. It's a really easy read, and it lifts your spirits. You don't set yourself some time apart to do your chores and do your homework. You just read it, and it lifts your spirits, and you have a great time while you're doing it. So I suppose, going to Greg now, the next question is, when's the next book? What's the next target? Is there a book in the offing, do you think, you're allowed to tell us about?
Yeah, absolutely. So I did a podcast with Ivan recently, and he let the cat out of the bag. So it was the first time he had kind of announced it officially, but there will be a follow-up book. The title will be Infinite Legacy. So it'll be about, just like Giver's Gain is not about, and Infinite Giving is not about giving millions upon millions of pounds to your local community. It can be something as simple as, you know, a small act of kindness, or there's a great story in the book about a man who planted a sapling once a day for about 40 years. It was a very small thing that he could do to give back to his local environment, and the result was breathtaking. So you'll have to read the story of that one. Infinite Legacy will be some great stories about people who have built legacies, of course, but also how you can start a legacy. So, you know, what can you start in your local community or your family to leave a legacy when we're not around anymore? You know, what will people look back and say, yeah, that was started by Mayor Hannah Gray, and it still perpetuates to this day. Legacy can be countless things, from, you know, names on the sides of hospitals hospitals and libraries, to a patchwork quilt which is passed down after the birth of the first child from mother to daughter. You know, there are some beautiful legacies out there, and we want everyone to leave a legacy in life, regardless of type, size, or cost. So it will be, it'll be Infinite Legacy.
That sounds fantastic. I had possibly heard that there was going to be a follow-up. I just thought I'd better bring it up in the podcast. A top tip for businesses pivoting in the crisis. So this is the last of the toughy questions, and I've got a couple of little daft ones for you, because we don't want it to go on for too long, as much as everybody will want to hear it, and we might have to do another one. But top tip for businesses pivoting in this crisis. Julian, have you got a top tip for someone? What do they need to do while they're pivoting or surviving or thriving, or what do they need to do during this crisis of lockdown?
Well, I guess I've got two tips, really, if I'm allowed. The first one is, what you've got to do is whatever it takes sometimes. So I've been absolutely inspired by people that are unable to do what they normally do, and they have moved into doing other things, such as, obviously there's a big demand at the moment for delivery drivers, there's a big demand in retail, there's a big demand for people working and volunteering in the NHS. So I've seen people basically do whatever it takes in order for them to survive. So that's the one thing, and I think that we should all applaud anybody that's done that. If you're unable to be an airline pilot and you find yourself being a delivery driver for Sainsbury's, then good for you, because that's what you need to do right now in order for you to survive. And then my other thing is, we should always look, and this goes back to how I coach people, we should always look for what makes us happy, and what makes those that we really care about happy as well. And that sometimes takes a little bit of thinking about, because our immediate answers, our obvious answers, aren't always really the thing. So I would do those two things. I would do whatever it takes to begin with, and then I would make sure that whatever I choose to do, it makes me happy.
That's really good advice. You'll be pleased to hear. I was chatting this afternoon on a podcast with Lord Harris of Harris Academies and Carpet Right fame. And his advice was very much the similar, was very much do what makes you happy. And if you can earn a living out of what makes you happy, then that's a really good way to go. So you enjoy getting up every morning. So you're in good company with that one. But Greg, have you got some top tips that you would like to share with our business community to survive or to thrive in this awful lockdown period?
Yeah, so I've been involved in small business development for 15 years now, in terms of BNI and watching companies grow. And I've seen the most intelligent, dynamic people crash and burn, and the others that you know do not have the deck stacked in their favor succeed massively. And the one difference between those that succeed and those that have failed for me over time is those that succeed just keep turning up. They are persistent in their efforts and they're consistent with their activities, and success cannot stand in their way. So it's a case of, you know, keep turning up to networking meetings, keep turning up to client pitches, keep turning up to training courses to better your skill set, keep picking up the phone and calling people or responding to messages on your social media page. You know, be consistent in your efforts. And, you know, that has, for over a decade and a half now, that has been the big difference. If you're willing to put the time in, if you're willing to continue to turn up and put a shift in and be a warrior, you know, you don't need to be a superstar and have all the talent in the world. You just need to put the effort in. And, you know, we've seen businesses in our organization in the same profession where some have succeeded and others are no longer in business. The difference has been just the effort that the people have put in to continue to turn up.
Yeah, very true. Determination, resilience, keep turning up and you will get there with the energy and enthusiasm that you need. So with that in mind, my last couple of questions to you both. First one going to Julian. Well, I'll give them both to both of you, but first time to Julian. What advice would you give yourself if you were talking to you at the age of 15? So with all of your knowledge you have now, you're giving yourself some advice when you were 15. What would that be?
Yeah, I think again, I'm gonna pull on what feels like a real cliche, but it certainly was true for me, and that is to follow your dream, and especially at that age, at 15, I always wanted to be a barrister, partly because I used to read the books Rumpole of the Bailey, and I actually talked myself out of it. I thought I wasn't clever enough, and to some extent, I didn't have Greg's intellectual prowess. However, there could have been a way, and I just didn't try. I didn't really follow that dream. I kind of fell at the first hurdle by tripping myself up. So, I've spoken to my kids about it, and I've said, look, follow your dream. Because especially at that age, you've got time to make so many mistakes when you're 15. Keep pushing and don't take no for an answer until no really is the answer.
Yeah, but you don't know it at that age, do you? You think, and with the pressures on us at that age, you think, oh, I've got to make a decision. I've got to know what I want to do. But you do have the time to make mistakes and learn from them and maybe still follow your dreams. So, Greg, what would you give yourself? What advice would you give yourself if you were talking to yourself at the age of 15 now with your knowledge you have?
Yeah, so I'm toying between two, so I'm just going to say them both. So I've spent a lot of time in my life trying to make sure that everyone likes me, and then came to a realization a few years ago that not everyone will. You'll never get everyone to like you, and that's okay. As long as you can say that you've done the right things for the right reasons, they'll have to accept that. You know, your yeah. They'll have to respect your activity. So I think I was the kind of person where you had a room of 100 people 99 of them were totally engaged, and there was one guy with his arms crossed, and I'd focus all my energy on the guy with his arms crossed to try to bring him around because I needed that approval. So I think, you know, very first, not everyone's going to like you, and that's okay. As long as you're securing what you're doing is right, then that's good enough for everyone. And the next one is kind of linked to that. I think we all suffer from imposter syndrome. I still think I'm going to get a phone call from Ivan going, actually, Greg, we made a mistake. Can we take your name off the book? And I think the message would be, you're good enough. Just to everyone out there, you are good enough. So, you know, you're good enough to be doing what you're doing. You're good enough to be accepted. You're good enough to be, you know, if you're trying to be a YouTube star or start your own TikTok account, you know, ignore the trolls out there. Ignore the naysayers. You are good enough. And if you have that confidence in yourself that you are in the right place and you are on the right journey, then that's going to carry you a very long way indeed.
Oh, I'm going to take that one because I'm still very green at this podcast. So I'm going to say to myself, I'm good enough. It's okay. People want to come and talk to me. But no, I think it's important to be, yeah, to feel confident in your own skin and know that you are good enough. You are good enough as a person. Absolutely. So it's good enough and motivated as you are, being a drummer, as I know you are. I'm now going to ask you another question. I'm just wondering whether the drummer bit might slip in. Greg, who would you have around your dinner table? Who would you invite for dinner? You could have anybody you like, dead or alive. Who would you invite? Would it be a drummer of some sort, or would it be some completely different people?
It probably wouldn't be a drummer, because we'd just all sit there tapping on the table and it'd just drive people insane. I mean, you get four drummers together around a dinner table, we'll all be out of time anyway. So it's probably not the best thing. I mean, I've always struggled with this question because I never really have heroes. I think I would pick some family members that I've lost in recent years to have around the dinner table for one last time. I think that would be my dream dinner party. Just share it with some people that I loved and just ask some of the questions that I never got to ask and probably should have asked when I had the opportunity. So people like my mum, my nan, and if I'm limited to three, it would be my grandfather that I never got the opportunity to meet.
Gosh, that's very emotional and very sincere. That's lovely. Mine would be far more flippant than that, Greg. Mine would be somebody famous I never got the chance to ever meet. So I think yours is really, really lovely and really sincere. And that puts Julian in a very difficult situation, because I'm now going to say, Julian, you love your rugby and you love your real ale. Would that influence the people you'd have around your dinner table?
No, I don't think it would. Talking about the book, and especially at this time of the year, so this time last year, Greg and I got on a plane to fly out to Beth and Ivan's house in Texas. And we spent an amazing week with them. Unfortunately, Beth passed away last year. So I think if I was to have a dinner party now, I think it would be the four of us again having dinner, and maybe me asking some questions that I thought I'd have time to ask Beth that I didn't get around to asking her.
Gosh, you're both lovely people. And I think that comes across in the book. And I think this podcast has really been very interesting for me. I said at the beginning I knew one better than the other, but I'm not so sure. There's lots that's come out that I wasn't aware of, and I think this is a really great way of showing people that you two and Ivan have created a fab book that isn't over heavy, is easy to read, and gives a lot of advice and thought. People that read this will think, and they will all benefit. Everyone that read this will come out of the end of it having learnt something about themselves and learnt something about the environment they're in, whether they use it for business or whether they use it for their own personal lives. I do believe it's a great book, and I want to thank you both for spending the time and coming on my podcast and and we will get this shared far and wide, hopefully encouraging as many people as possible to pick the book up, buy the book, obviously, but pick it up, read it, and share it, and share those thoughts in there, because I think there's a lot to be gained from it. And yeah, to coin the phrase, infinite giving, it will be infinite giving if they pick up this book. I think it will go on throughout their lifetime once they have it, and refer back to it many, many times just to remind themselves of their principles. So thank you both very much. I really have enjoyed this chat.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you for joining me today. If you know someone or are someone who should join me, please get in touch. Meanwhile, believe in yourself, support others, and please stay safe.